Hey, everybody, this is Brad Williams, and I am the pastor of B4 Church. Welcome to our podcast. My prayer is that this would help you behold God, that you would see him for who he is, that you would belong to community, that you would be everything that you were created to be, and that you would be able to dream beyond the limitations in your life. So I hope you enjoy this teaching, and we look forward to seeing you in person soon.
Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to the B4 podcast. My name is Alex.
And I'm Ashley.
And hey, today we are walking through week 4 of the Advent season.
We are. This is the last week of Advent.
Wow.
Officially. That means it's Christmas.
That's so almost. So cool and crazy at the same time.
It's gone very quickly.
Yeah. So what have we been doing over the last couple of weeks?
So the last couple of weeks, we've just been having a conversation looking at the different passages that were in each week of the B4 Advent devotional and picking. Each of us have kind of picked out like, hey, this is the one that stood out to me for whatever reason. And we've just had a short conversation about it.
Yeah. There's this old legend, proverb, story. Don't really know what it is, but it basically
it's
is
a lot of words.
This saying, which goes, give a man a fish and he eats for a day, teach a man to fish and he eats for the rest of his life.
Yes.
As long as, you know, the fish don't run out of the lake or sea or river or stream or whatever.
And
then
he actually is successful at the fishing.
Right. But I think the overarching idea is pretty clear. Like, instead of doing something for someone, it's teaching them how to do it for themselves. Mm-hmm. The goal of the Advent devotional is not to tell people, this is what you must think or this is how you must do it, but to begin people on the journey of reading scripture and encountering the word for themselves.
Yeah. And what we wanted to model here was also something that we hope if you are participating in the devotional that you're doing as well, which is just being able to talk whether it's your spouse or family member or friend or whoever about what you've been learning, what stands out to you. Because I've learned things in the conversations that we've had. Yeah. I know as my husband and I have been going through this together, we've both kind of pulled out different things that are just, oh, like, I didn't see that. Like, so we learn things that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, for somebody who maybe isn't as new to this and has been, you know, fishing for a long time, one of the other cool things is that you are encountering passages of scripture that you know, but maybe rereading them in a different season of your life is illuminating something new and fresh for you.
That's very true.
Yeah. So, yeah, today, or for this week, there is a passage that I picked out that actually stood out to me. And I'll be honest with you, typically poetry, it doesn't really stick
out. Not your thing?
No, it's the genre in the Bible that I have the hardest time with.
I would agree with that. I think some of that is because of the way my brain works. And some of it is the historical distance between the poets of that day and how we understand poetry.
Yeah. I mean, and then you like translate it from original language to English, and English is not a very poetic language.
It's kind of harsh
at times. So you read them and you're like, that didn't rhyme, or that doesn't seem like it flows.
Yeah,
or,
our version of poetry is very rhymey. That is not how ancient poetry worked.
Not at all. And it's taken me years to try to like wrap my head around it. So I normally pick a story because that's what I feel like I connect with the most. However, there was a couple lyrics to a poem in Luke's gospel, and they're sung by Mary. Mm-hmm. And this is Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Yes. She did not sing Mary, did you know?
I wonder what she would think.
Of Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know there'd be songs about you?
Mary probably was very, very surprised by how she was seen in history. Like, I'm sure when she was just doing whatever she was doing, the angel showed up. She was not expecting that one day people would have candles with her face on it.
Okay, so it's interesting you say that, because that's actually, of all the verses in her song, Mary's song is what it's called. This is the one that stood out to me the most. For he, speaking of Yahweh, the creator God, has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. Mm-hmm. So you just said something that was interesting. Like, she probably had no idea all the things that would be made of her for the next 2,000 years. And I think you're right.
She did not expect the candle thing.
Probably not. I think that, you know, the veneration would have been interesting, but maybe also like, no, please don't venerate me that much, or don't pray to me. I know some people get that confused, but she clearly did know that because of this experience, giving birth to God,
Yes.
Was going to cement her into history. And I was just thinking about how much of an unlikely person yeah. God picked to do that. I mean, virtually she is kind of a nobody from nowhere.
Yeah, we don't know anything about her before mm-mm. Gabriel shows up.
We don't. We don't know her family, her background, her history. All we get is a glimpse of her character based mm-hmm. on her response to an otherworldly experience. An mm-hmm. angel, Gabriel, shows up and says, hey, you're going to give birth to God.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. And she's like, how is that going to happen? And
yeah, I think I would have asked some more questions.
Yeah. And then she just kind of leaves it with whatever you say, yeah. pretty much, you know? So I've been thinking about this a lot this week because in a lot of ways, like this is going to sound morbid. I've been thinking about the end of my life.
Mm-hmm, that is a bit morbid.
It's a bit morbid, but I had a couple moments of clarity with some family illness scares over the last month or so. And I just started asking questions about legacy and my life and recognizing how fleeting it will be and can mm-hmm. be. And I made my goal. My goal is to meet my and be a cool great grandpa that can still nice. Move. That's like my goal in life now. It's, you know,
like,
and it's feasible.
That can still move.
Yeah, that can still move. I mean, there's a chance I could be in my early 70s when I meet my first great grandchild. And I hope that I'm mobile enough to enjoy that, right? But I was just thinking about how most of us are like Mary before she meets Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
Just a person living in this grand, huge, sweeping story and a world populated with other people. And there was something not that the temple didn't notice, that the religious leaders didn't notice, that Rome did nothing, like the world around her did not notice
mm-hmm.
that God did. And mm-hmm. God saw her amongst everyone through all time, space, and history. That she carried the character that would be the mother of the creator of the universe in yeah. human flesh.
What trust for God to be like, mm-hmm. of all the women through all of history,
yeah.
you're the one that I'm going to trust to yeah. not only carry your son around in my son around in your womb,
yeah.
but also raise him.
This is funny. I was watching The Star. Have you seen The Star?
I don't think I have.
It's an
I've heard it's very good.
Your world with animated films is about to
yes.
make a
luckily
real
I
quick
generally
comeback.
Like them already.
Right, exactly. It's an excuse. Little yes. children are an excuse to watch cartoons again, but it was actually done really well in my opinion, but there's this moment where I don't even know why, but Joseph and Mary are on their way to Bethlehem. And I just started weeping. It's a cartoon. I was just sitting next to my kids just weeping because I just had this overwhelming sense that God saw something that no one in the world valued.
Mm-hmm.
And that was enough for them to go on a journey that nobody else would ever understand but them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been encouraged by that. I really have been. I've been encouraged by, you know, this random story of this humble, not random, but like this random person
mm-hmm.
whom God saw her character and decided that's somebody that I can use to raise the Son of God, right? So anyways, that's what stood out to me this week. And I just keep thinking about, you know, in our world, we are so tempted to want to put our life on public display.
Mm-hmm.
And to seek after the reward that our world and culture will give by doing so. And I'm just reminded the same thing that was said of David, that God does not see the same thing that man sees, but God sees the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exemplified in this story more than pretty much any other human was entrusted with throughout the whole Bible.
Yeah.
So that's it for me.
Yeah.
What about for you?
Well, actually, the Mary as a person and her relationship with her cousin Elizabeth was what kind of stood out to me this time. So this week we read about both the announcement of John the Baptist's birth to Zechariah and then the announcement of Jesus's birth to Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And then part of that is
the song,
like, the yeah. song happens yeah. after Mary comes to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth, John the Baptist, like jumps in the womb, which I'm now like, that would be real weird. I'm glad. I don't think the baby is jumping in there. I prefer to keep it that way, I think. But then in response to that,
I think that's called poetry.
Yes. And what, you know, Elizabeth's response to seeing Mary is when the Magnificat or Mary's song happens. I think as I was thinking through just Mary's story in general, there were a couple of things that stood out. One was, I was just like, if you have an angel show up at your house and the angel tells you you're a virgin, you're going to have a baby, do you even try to explain that to your parents? like, is that a conversation where you're like, mom and dad, you're not going to believe what happened today? I don't
even
know.
Someone throughout time has tried it though.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody has. But I was just thinking about that of like, what was the family dynamic, then the relational dynamic of this announcement? Because there's three things that I've kind of imagined relationally happening. One is Mary trying to explain this thing to her parents. And do you try, or what does that look like? Mm-hmm. The other is, I'm guessing that there's some sort of conversation between Mary's dad and Joseph. And how does Mary's dad explain to Joseph this situation? And some of that has to do with how does he accept Mary? Because I wonder if, like, do her parents think like something terrible, she was attacked, something terrible happened to her, and she's just so
making
traumatized that
something.
This is how her brain is dealing with it. And maybe she's a little crazy, but we still love her. Are they mad? Like, oh my gosh, she's a tramp. Like, what? I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure how that goes, but I'm just curious what those two, those are kind of the two big possibilities in my mind. If either she's crazy or we're very disappointed in her. But I wonder, so thinking about her going to visit Elizabeth, of what a comfort to be with a person who has also had something miraculous happen to them and who 100% believes and accepts you and knows that what you're saying is true.
Yeah.
And especially, like, it says that Mary's there for like 3 months. Mm-hmm. And if she goes right after Gabriel, she gets to spend her pukey time with Elizabeth, where she's probably the most
first
sick
trimester.
Yeah, the most sick and the most tired and just generally the most miserable. But in that time, she has the comfort of somebody who believes her, and probably Zachariah too, but he can't talk. So I'm not sure how helpful he is during this period of time. But she has the support of somebody who knows her, who loves her, and who believes her. And I wonder too, does Elizabeth help the thing with the parents of like, hey, so, by the way, this thing has happened. Do you not believe your daughter?
I've always kind of wondered this, like whether or not Joseph knew about the baby before the first 3 months, or like she shows back up 3 months pregnant and he's like,
wait a minute. I had that question too. I'm like, when do you have the conversation with your parents? Do you wait until you come back from going to visit Elizabeth? Is that why you got sent to Elizabeth?
Right.
I don't know.
And the reason why that like historically is applicable is because Mary likely lived with her parents as she was betrothed to be married to Joseph. So, and remember, lived with them does not mean they had a 2,600 square foot house in their own bedroom.
Probably it meant like they all one
slept
or two
in
bedroom
one bedroom. Yeah.
Home.
Home.
Shack?
Yeah, home.
Hut. Something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I've wondered all of those same questions.
Yeah.
I also like what character Joseph must have.
Yeah.
Because he believed her.
Yes, he's compassionate. Yeah. Granted, he does have He gets a dream. Yeah. But he doesn't even actually get a real angel. He gets a dream.
Right.
And that's enough for him to be like, no, this is the thing that I'm supposed to do. But and even before that, he's planning, even though he's like, I don't think I want to marry this girl, he wants to do it in a respectful way.
Yeah.
So those have just been, part of it is because being pregnant this time, of thinking about like, 3 months. Oh, that's about how long I felt miserable. And just thinking about, that'd be nice to be with someone who cared about you and believed you for 3 months. but some of it just thinking about just the different relational dynamics that I hadn't thought about before. Just God's kindness in that, that, you know, Elizabeth and Mary didn't have to be related, but he sets things up in such a way that they can kind of be witnesses to one another, reminders to one another, and a comfort to one another. Mm-hmm. That God is moving and God's doing something great and they're not crazy, which is nice.
You know, it's so interesting. There's a verse in Mark where it's better translated in the original language. Isn't this Mary's son, the carpenter? And sometimes in different English translations, it's, isn't this the carpenter's son, the son mm-hmm. of Mary? But I think it's better rendered because of the word that's used, which is a derogatory term. So in other words, because of this whole experience that you're talking about,
yeah.
it's not like it just went away after
no.
Jesus was born. He actually had to grow up with this over his head, and Mary had to live with this for the rest of her life, yep. that people around didn't believe in the Immaculate Conception.
Yeah.
So the thought was he was the illegitimate child of Mary, mm-hmm. not the son of Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of the way that they had to grow up, and Joseph had to handle that for his whole life, and Mary had to handle, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They had to live with that, and that was the cost of their story. So that just makes me think about how encouraged they would be by someone like Elizabeth, who mm-hmm. was thoroughly in their corner.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. Well,
yeah. Short, sweet, and to the point this week.
That's right.
Well, it is almost Christmas. So
it's almost Christmas. You know. I hope you've gotten your Christmas shopping done.
Yeah, we hope so. Or you're very close. As you're thinking about your Christmas Eve plans, just a reminder that we are hosting Christmas Eve services in person, on campus, and with candles. So if you want to join us for any of those, they will be happening on Christmas Eve, December 23rd at 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock. And then on Christmas Eve proper, on the 24th, at 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock. And we would love to see you at any of those. If you mm-hmm. happen to see us, please say hi. We'd love to say hi to you. Yep. And ooh, also, there will not be in-person service on the 26th. Yes. So if you show up here
yes.
the day after Christmas, the doors will be locked.
But what will we have?
We will have a pre-recorded sermon for you and your family to enjoy at your leisure.
And when does it drop?
It'll drop on Christmas Day. You will get an email.
And it will go into your inbox.
It will be right there.
It's a gift.
And it will also be, I'm sure, on the website as well. So if
be.
You miss the email.
That's right.
Or don't feel like checking your email on Christmas Day, you can still find
That's
it
right.
on the website.
Well, thanks for tuning in. And we yeah. will see you, talk to you.
We will.
Or with you or at you.
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
See you there.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.